Now, a major reshuffle of senior positions in the public sector by the State Services Commission yesterday has drawn criticism from the Equal Opportunities Commissioner. The State Services Commissioner, Peter Hughes, announced the reshuffle, including moving five public service chief executives into different roles, without going to an open application contest for the positions. The roles include the top jobs at Justice, Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, and the Ministry of Primary Industries. None of the appointments was advertised or contestable, and all of the appointments were men. The changes do leave vacant three positions that will be advertised and filled over the next year: the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade, Corrections, and Ministry of Culture and Heritage. The State Services Commission, under its Act, can fill a pending vacancy by renewing the incumbent, transferring, or advertising, but it's rare to have a bulk reshuffle of incumbents this way. Jackie Blue, the Equal Opportunities Commissioner, says she's shocked and disappointed at the move. She says it was an opportunity for Peter Hughes, the State Services Commissioner, to show his commitment to gender equity in the public sector. And Mr. Hughes has declined an interview this morning. I have a statement from the Commission that I'll get to, but first, Jackie Blue is with us. Good morning.
Good morning, Catherine.
So is it rare to have what's essentially a bulk reshuffle?
Yeah, it's musical chairs of the boys, basically, but no one missed out on a chair this time.
Under the State Sector Act, the Commission can do this?
Correct, but I would have thought in the modern world we live in that they would have gone to a contestable, advertised process, and they haven't, which is very disappointing.
There are some senior figures involved, just looking at some of what the rationale might have been. You've got the head of Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet, Andrew Kibblewhite, who goes to Justice, the head of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade, Brooke Barrington, who goes to replace Mr. Kibblewhite in the Prime Minister's department. You've got the head of Corrections, Ray Smith, who goes to the Ministry of Primary Industries. Is there a logic in the appointment of these experienced and senior public servants to some roles that might be seen as being very much on the government's mind at the moment? Can you see a logic to it?
No, there's no logic. In fact, again, it goes against the sentiment that we need greater diversity throughout our state sector and public service departments. We know women CEOs make up over 40% of CEOs of public service, which is good on paper, looks great, but the fact is, Catherine, they actually head smaller departments. And I am quite convinced there'll be women there who are currently CEOs of smaller departments that could have stepped up into these bigger roles. I don't buy the fact that there weren't any women. They just didn't look very hard, unfortunately.
There will be three vacancies resulting, I think, at MFAT, Corrections and the Ministry of Culture and Heritage. Does that open up an opportunity for aspirants, including women?
Yes, it does. And basically it puts the SSC on notice that they will be watching this process and ensuring that it's fair and transparent. I mean, in the very least, there should be a gender-based selection panel involved in all of this.
Has a woman ever headed the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade?
I'm not so sure about that, but I know Dame Margaret Bayzy did head MSD or social welfare in her day. But these women who head these big, grunty departments seem to be the exception, not the norm, and that's the concern. Women face such unconscious bias, and we know that, and Peter Hughes knows that. But for some reason, they've omitted women in the musical chairs that has just occurred. Unless women are intentionally included, they will be unintentionally excluded. So that needs to be top of mind. They need to be constantly thinking about the biases that we all have within ourselves.
Let me read from the statement that's come from the State Services Commission. It's attributed to the State Services Commissioner. This is an issue that the Commission and I are very conscious of, the gender equity issue I take it he's referring to. I am personally committed to achieving full gender equity and representation across the leadership of the public service. Dr. Blue knows this and is supporting us to achieve it. Judge us on the end point position, not each move along the way. On the issue of transfer, in this case, rather than going to market, I did it to ensure we retain strong, experienced leadership and to continue to drive important transformation programs underway across the public service. Stability of leadership's a critical component of delivering the promised changes.
Well, I totally reject that statement. I read it and got really angry. I totally and utterly reject it. There are capable women there. They just haven't looked very hard, Catherine. They could have been supported to step up, to take these bigger roles. They are quite capable. They are there. unfortunately, they didn't look and find them.
There's something like 40% of women, or 40% of the CEO roles are women. He points this out also. 30 public service chief executives, currently 13 are women.
Yeah, but we know those 40% of public CEOs who are women headed smaller departments. I have consistently asked the State Service Commission to publish the pay gender gaps of the public service CEOs, and they have met resistance. They have not to date, and they haven't, I suspect, because that's going to be a very big gender pay gap.
What would the contestability have achieved, even if the same outcomes? He seems to be emphasising the track record of these particular public servants. And I think he's alluded to also the sort of transformation. These are areas where the government is planning some pretty big either changes or improvements, right? So what would have been the harm or the risk of going to a contest? Is he alluding to the fact he might have lost some of them?
Well, who knows? I can't understand his reasoning, unless the fact that, unfortunately, appointment processes tend to be incredibly slow, in which case, if they knew these, they wanted to change and move people around, they should have started the appointment process months ago and made it contestable and transparent. I just totally reject that statement that we just, to ensure a secure and safe pair of hands, we had to keep moving the boys around. I just totally reject that, Catherine. It is so outdated.
Just a final statement from the Commissioner's statement. Yesterday's announcement changed that mix of the CEO lineup by one, and not until June 2019. In the meantime, we will be recruiting a further four chief executives. These vacancies are opportunities to achieve greater gender balance. To you, just listening to you, is it not just about the raw numbers of women who might get into these roles? It's the opportunity to get specific roles.
I think, Catherine, that we need the right people for the roles, but unfortunately the skill set is defined by the gatekeepers, which are generally men, and that's why women are missing out. And we all obviously need the right people with the right skills, but the skill set definition and who has merit and what is merit is the big question, and I really reject the fact there aren't women there currently now who can step up and fill those roles, and the State Service Commission need to acknowledge that and go into the processes that they say are going to happen over the next year or so and remove all those biases, absolutely eliminate them all, and pick the candidates on a fair level playing field.
Have you heard rumblings and discontent from women public servants or in leadership roles since this announcement was made?
Yeah, I've had discussions with a public service CEO, a woman, and very unhappy. I hadn't actually read the article. I took the opportunity to take the article. I just got so angry and disappointed as I keep reading it. Very disappointed, Catherine. Very, very disappointed.
Because we are hearing from people, even those, you know, not necessarily among the 13 CEOs at the moment, saying this is precisely the sort of stuff.
Exactly.
That is frustrating.
This absolutely underlines the problem we have, totally.
I can hear you being angry. I know you don't have too much longer in that role.
Yeah.
And just to finish while I have you here, your term coming to the Human Rights Commission, did you at all consider seeking reappointment given the recent report into that organisation?
No, I think a term is a term. I think that's what the judge said in her summary. I agree totally. I know that it's time to pass the baton on, and I am quite confident the next Equal Employment Opportunities Commissioner, who will be a woman, will be totally amazing, and she will have my full and total support. So I think we do need to hand the baton on and do acknowledge there are people coming through that will have a different perspective, and we need to welcome that, and I welcome this.
You're moving on. Susan Devoy is moving on. She has issued a very strong statement upon her departure. The Chief Commissioner, David Rutherford, is not seeking reappointment. Reading Judge Shaw's report, what the hell happened, Jackie? What happened?
Yeah, well, it's not for me to comment on the detail, just to say that the recommendations are very clear and the Commission's totally committed in implementing those recommendations, and we've started that process already. And it's going to be a good thing for the Commission. What happened at the Commission under my tenure is historical. It wasn't something that just happened in the last 5 years. It's been a historical issue, and I welcome the changes that's going to happen.
It was in Dame Susan's statement, she said, we must make sure, we must learn from this, other organisations, and make sure it never, ever happens again. What, at its core, was the cause of dysfunction among and between the commissioners themselves and obvious questions over some of the processes that you might expect the executive to be responsible for? What was the core of what appears to be absolute dysfunction?
I think the governance role, I think Judge Shaw alludes to the governance role is that, as the Act says, all commissioners are board members, but we also work in the organisation, and I think that creates a tension in itself. So the judge did suggest some possible options, which may be reviewed over time, but at the moment we're stuck with the Human Rights Act, which, you know, dictates that the commissioners are board members. But I think that this is a shake-up and a wake-up call for the Commission, and I absolutely welcome the changes and the recommendations. I'm quite convinced the new commissioners will come in, and it will be a different Commission. Now, Catherine, what really upsets me is the damage it's done to our staff, who are just amazing. They do amazing work every day, and unfortunately, it's had a devastating impact on our staff. And while I'm there until my replacement comes, I'm determined that I will bring and continue bringing changes and supporting the staff so we can actually have a really functional commission by the time the new commissioners take over.
Was this personalities and personality-driven bad behaviour?
Oh, look, I'd rather not comment on that, just to say that I think the tensions in the governance roles were quite major, and that in itself created issues.
Just finally, in Dame Susan's statement upon her departure, or announcement of her departure, she said others should do the right thing, accept responsibility and go. Would you concur?
I think everyone's done a lot of soul-searching about what they could have done and if we could turn back the clock. And it's not for me to say. I think everyone's searched really, dug deep really, and looked really hard, including myself. So I really can't comment on that. That's obviously personal decisions people have to make within themselves.
Thanks for your time this morning. Okay. Jackie Blue is the Equal Opportunities Commissioner.